Good morning. As Tom said, they're talking more about target spot. In this session, there are four talks on target spot, and the question might be why that is appropriate. It's an emerging disease, fairly new, and the question is, what impact does it have? And in my career, there's never been so much work, or I've not spent so much work, on a disease where it still remains controversial as far as what the true impact is. A recent publication, as recent as yesterday when I got it on my email from Brazil, talking about the different isolates of the pathogen for target spot Cornus brachiaecula, they say in their opening abstract it is a very important and yield-limiting disease in Brazil. We have the same disease in the United States, and there remains questions on what that is. 2010, county agent, former county agent in Thomas County did a trial, a large plot trial, and you can clearly see the strips through the field where he went out and used headline at 6 ounces per acre. And you can see where you have white, that's premature defoliation, the bands where the leaves are still on there. You can see the impact of a fungicide. And when he went out and did it across the board, he made over 60 pounds of lint by using a fungicide. And that was economically profitable. So one might ask why, with four talks deserved today, why if we have publications coming from the international academic community, and why with trials that have already been done in Georgia, why we need another talk, why we continue to look at it. And I think that Austin talks, both of his talks earlier today, are an important point in that. Because if you looked at Austin's talks, he clearly showed that there is something called target spot. He certainly showed that there can be an impact of variety. He certainly showed that there can be an impact of fungicides as well. But what was not so clear and what's frustrating in everything we do at target spot is the impact for the grower, the yield, was not always clear. In fact, it was muddied. And so the reason for my talk today is in dealing with some of the county agents that are here, dealing with the growers, is how do we take what we're doing in Georgia and looking at other states, and does target spot matter, and how do we make recommendations about it? Because there's no doubt it's a disease, there's no doubt a fungicide can be effective, but what is it and how can we make recommendations from it? I want to preface this by saying that in 2014, this is something that Austin, Dr. Hagen, did not mention, but in the Southeast it was an extremely dry year. So any work that was done in 2014, conditions were generally unfavorable for fungal diseases and target spot in general. The Cornus brachiaecula has a strong need for extended periods of leaf wetness. Okay, so last year was not a great year for it, but I will say that we were able to get some information from that. Foliar diseases on cotton are not new to cotton production in the southeastern United States. We have any number of diseases, Cercospora stemphilium, which are tied to nutrient deficiencies. We have Ascochyta blight. We have areolate mildew. And we have this Cornus leaf spot or target spot that was first described in 1961, not 1963. And for a period of 40 years, it disappeared and has come back with a vengeance. We have fungicides that are labeled. In fact, most of these fungicides were labeled before we started to use them on target spot. Pyraclostrobin or headline, twinline, which is a combination of pyraclostrobin and metconazole, and azoxystrobin, which are quadris, have been labeled even before, or as the headline, the quadris, even before we knew what target spot was. So we have fungicides that are in place that can be used. Target spot has very distinct symptoms, hence the name target spot, very large lesions, about the size of a marble when they're expanded the most. And what's most important about this disease is that unlike stemphilium leaf spot on your left, which is tied to a potassium deficiency, the target spot starts in the bottom of the canopy, extended leaf wetness period, and you can have extensive defoliation occur very quickly. I said earlier in a previous talk that within 2 weeks from first disease onset, we can have 50% defoliation. I stand by that. In extreme cases, with leaf wetness, the disease can come in and take a tremendous amount of leaves off. It's caused by the fungus Cornus brachiaecula. Okay? It's a deuteromycete. It has large conidia that we talked about earlier. They're spread in a field and across fields as a curiosity of interest. The first paper I showed you from Brazil is actually looking at different isolates of Cornuspora coming from other crops, soybeans, and other areas as well, and seeing what's the relationship between those and cotton. And there is a difference. The ones that go to cotton from work done at the University of Georgia are different. They behave differently than the ones from other crops. Okay. So what's the value of a leaf? In all of our dealings with talking about the importance of target spot, we talk about premature defoliation. And why does that matter? In fact, when we're making recommendations to grower, when we're talking to cotton physiologists and cotton agronomists, it all comes down to what does premature defoliation mean? Austin even went so far as to say that if premature defoliation occurs late enough in the season, it could be a harvest aid. Okay? After listening to Austin's talks, one might wonder why we don't just start using it as a matter of management as opposed to disease. Right? The leaves are critical for the growth and development of the cotton. Those subtending leaves, the ones associated with the boll themselves, are the most important for feeding that boll. Up to 45% of the nutrition for that boll comes from a subtending leaf. There's a period of time where that subtending leaf can't produce enough carbohydrates to feed itself and the boll and the plant. But a period of time, about 23 days, between 23 and 60 days, that leaf is critically important not only for the development of the boll, but also for supporting the plant as well. Okay? After that, it's not. So what the importance of premature defoliation is once you lose these subtending leaves, once you lose enough of the canopy, then it becomes less possible to develop the bolls. And most critically, if you have loss of subtending leaves too early, you also can have premature boll drop. So premature defoliation is not simply a harvest aid. Premature defoliation, when it's aggressive enough, actually can affect yield. I call this through glass darkly. And that's, again, looking at the talks that we've had before and what Hillary will give following me. And that is, despite the fact that we know what the disease is now, despite the fact that we know that it can be managed in some degree with a fungicide, more or less, it's through glass darkly because we're still looking for best timing of fungicide, what fungicides work, is there varietal resistance or some more susceptible, and what are the best recommendations. And as an extension specialist, that's what my program is geared towards, is saying what research can we do to apply directly to the field. The hardest hit areas in the state of Georgia have been in the extreme southwest Georgia, southeast Alabama, and the panhandle of Florida have been some of the earliest areas where we found it that are the most important. The two yellow stars that you see in the red zone, the hot areas, that's Camilla, the irrigation park, and Atapulgas, that's where these trials were conducted. The first set of trials I looked at was trying to manage target spot with fungicides, trying to see if we have different chemical classes, different types of fungicides that might be effective and improve the management. The most frustrating thing, an earlier slide showed that, is even though we can get management of target spot, right now our ability to manage the disease is not so good that we consider it satisfactory. At the end of the season, no matter what we use to protect the crop, we're still going to have problems. We use randomized complete block for replications. We try to have a little bit longer, actually two rows, not 20 rows, two rows with border rows. No editorial comments. We all make mistakes. I don't know if you all know Tom Allen, and I digress, but anyway, it's two rows, Tom. Two rows, two border rows. Trials are conducted at the research stations. We use Phytogen 499. Phytogen 499 is certainly a susceptible variety. The fungicides we used, you see the list of them, and what's most important when you look is we have three classes of fungicides we're currently using. We're using the strobilurins or the QOI, we're using the triazoles, and we're using the new SCHI carboxamates. This is very important because we're limited to probably two applications. My biggest concern in fighting target spot is, A, are we making the growers money by doing it? The second thing is, are we using the same chemistries and increasing the opportunity for fungicide resistance? Because Coronis brachiaecula is very much associated with fungicide resistance in other crops. Okay? The first trial we did, this is a Bayer Crops crop science study. This was in Atapulgas, one of our hot zones for target spot. What you can see is the yellow bars were ratings done on the 15th of September, the 30th of September, and the 17th of October. These applications were made, two fungicide applications made on a timing basis, the first and third week of application. You can see we've got the untreated, we've got Vellum Total, which was put out in Furrow, Proline, Propulse, Stratego Yield, Absolute, Headline, and Quadris. What I want you to notice first is that we continually have an increase in disease, which we would expect. The untreated, if we look at the most important ones that were out there, the two strobilurin fungicides, the Headline plus Quadris, and the Propulse also look good. Propulse is a combination of prothioconazole and fluopyram in SDHI chemistry. The important thing to note is at the end of the season, no matter what fungicide program we used, we still had significant defoliation, but it was lower than what the untreated would have been. None of our programs are stopping the disease. Our best programs are simply slowing the disease down. Most frustrating in this program, and working with target spot, you can see the untreated on the far left. All of our fungicide programs increased yield, but none were significant. The number that continually comes up and the lack of significance, which is frustrating, but we believe that in treating with a target spot with fungicide, we're seeing between 150 and 200 pounds of lint consistently. The frustration is the statistical significance, but what is consistent is that number, approximately 200 pounds of lint, when you convert from the seed cotton there. Second trial was looking at defoliation with a DuPont study. Again, we're looking at Headline, Fontellus, an SDHI fungicide, Proline, which is a triazole fungicide, TopGuard, which is a triazole fungicide, at the first and third week of bloom, or simply the third week of bloom. And what you'll note is that where we started on the first week of bloom, we have less disease than where we started on the third week of bloom. First week of bloom, starting a third week of bloom, we do slow the disease down, but by the end of the season, we continuously have a significant amount of disease. What I'll point out lastly is that, again, it's the strobilurin chemistries in this case particularly Headline, whether it was twice or single application, we have impact. And again, we're not seeing any significance. It's almost significant at the 0.1 level, but again, when we look across the board, the strobilurin chemistry and that triazole proline increase yield by approximately 200 pounds of lint per acre. Varieties. 499 has been the maligned as being most susceptible. When we look at a single application of the strobilurin fungicide in the red versus no fungicide or in the blue versus no fungicide in the red, what we see is a consistent increase in disease where we didn't spray, significant with 1454 and 367. 499 is not the only variety out there which is susceptible. When we look at yields, we did see a significant yield increase in 1252, 1740, 367. The increase in yield is not always tied to measurable defoliation. Point to take home is 499 is not the only variety that responds to the use of fungicides. In summary, results are variable, frustratingly variable, but they are promising. Positive results for fungicides last year, even though it was a very dry year. Combined results continue, and I stand behind the idea that I think growers have the realistic expectation of 200 pounds of lint per acre when they have a problem, when they've treated with the appropriate fungicide. Strobilurins have been the most effective class so far. We'll continue to recommend them, and fungicides are effective on multiple varieties. I'd like to thank Cotton Incorporated. I'd like to thank the companies BASF, Syngenta, DuPont, Kiminova, Bear Crop Science, and my staff that you see in the picture for their assistance with this project. And I'll stop there.